Andrews, Monterey, Michigan, November 9th, 1862. Dear Brother John, Andrews, it becomes my duty to write to you. Last Wednesday evening, a few were assembled together to have a praying season. I was shown some things in vision. From what was shown me, the Lord would not have us visit New York as the brethren and sisters desired. The responsibility must rest elsewhere, and I saw that there was a work for us to do in Michigan. We have found some of that work to do since we came to Monterey. I never heard James bear so powerful a testimony. I thought that he would fall in the desk, he was so powerfully exercised. His testimony has been for the children especially, and we have seen a reformation among the young here. Yesterday, 4 grown persons were baptized. 2 had not professed religion before. The root of the matter is in them. This forenoon, James led down 10 more, from the ages of 10 to 16, into the water. 5 young men were baptized. Quite a number will be immersed tomorrow. The work is spreading and bears good marks of being genuine. I saw that God has accepted your efforts. Your testimony in New York has been acceptable to Him. I saw that the Lord pities you and is willing to make you free. He has wrought for your wife, and she has been learning to submit her will and way to God that He might direct her paths. There has been a work, a good work, with some in Waukon, but there is yet to be a work done, a great change with some, before the cloud can pass away. I was shown that Brother Wheeler has done a most dark, mischievous work among some of the churches in New York. He has sown the seeds of unbelief which have sprung up and borne fruit. He cannot now so readily see this and root it out. He has never yet seen that the influence of his wife has been a great detriment to him. She has a strong spirit, and she has swayed his judgment and influenced his course, and he has been killing himself. He has never realized the truthfulness of the vision given for him months ago. But his greatest anxiety has been that it should not be made public lest it would affect the liberalities of his brethren towards him. I was shown that his labors for the year past have been lost. He might just as well have labored with his hands as to have made a show of laboring in the cause. God's power has not attended his labors and never will until he makes thorough efforts to undo the evil he has done. He does not stand in the light. He has chosen a course of his own, and he and his family must suffer the consequences. I was shown that God did not require us to go to New York and labor to build up what others have been tearing down, and suffer depression of spirits and to be held in doubt. But he would send us where there are willing hearts to receive our testimony and to go to work for themselves. Those who wish to have help in New York can help themselves if they will follow the abundance of light the Lord has heretofore given them. When they take hold of the work with energy and zeal, then may they expect help. I was shown the dark and deadly influence of Elmore Waters. Some have hung on to him. He throws around him a very religious garb, appears very mild and devoted. But corruption and rebellion are within, and yet some will cling to him, although his influence will draw them in the dark every time. His heart is at war with the work of the third angel. His heart is at war with the visions. He despises them. Yet he has many sympathizers. He is working constantly against the truth. Yet souls are deceived. They will not shake him off, and Satan uses him as his agent to transmit his fiery darts to those who are weak and undecided. God requires his people to take a stand which shall cut off such injurious influences. There are quite a number in New York who have taken a rebellious course like Dathan and Abiram. They rise up and step in between the plain testimony and the people and virtually say, "Ye take too much upon yourself, seeing the congregation is holy, every one of them." Numbers 16, verse 3. The plain testimony must be given. Sins must be rebuked and wrongs corrected.
and the worthless and corrupt be separated from the pure. Some half-hearted ones are not in sympathy with such a work and think that there is too much straight testimony, too much zeal, that the people of God will do well enough and come out well enough without all this, and there are not wrongs about them which others need to be burdened about so much. They give a quieting, soothing testimony calculated to quell their fears. Such are the ones who are crying, "Peace, peace," when the Lord hath not spoken peace. Jeremiah 6, verse 14.
Brother Poole is not in the work. He has lost sense of the greatness, the solemnity, and close separating work for this time. His influence is not calculated to lead on God's people to advance, but rather to retard their progress and destroy the marks of peculiarity God has placed upon them, and unite them with professors who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. God and his angels are at work to bring up to the standard, to elevate. Brother Poole must step carefully and move with more energy and decision, or his labors will be accepted of the rebel host and will not be approved of God. There is to be a close and testing work among God's people. The shaking time is upon us, and those who are valiant and wholehearted will endure the trying process. Those who endure unto the end shall receive the crown of life. This is all I can write at present. I have some other things, but we are in the midst of meetings and can only snatch a few moments at a time to write. The good work is being carried on here at Wright. 12 or 14 came forward to be prayed for yesterday, which was Monday. They express a desire to be Christians, and we hold another meeting today for the brethren and sisters and for the young. Meetings will continue here for a day or two, then we shall go to Greenville. Brother Hull is quite free again, for which we feel very thankful. He will accompany us to Greenville, and then will return to Wright to give a course of lectures. If I could get time, I would copy this, but I cannot get time. Brother John, in the last vision given in Battle Creek, November 5th, I was shown that you had not realized the extent of your influence to darken and throw minds into doubt while you were separated in your sympathies and feelings from us. And those who influenced you and held you from us have never realized the deadly work that Satan was doing through them. I saw that while you were in the unsettled state, you were subject to the most harassing temptations and doubts, and while traveling with your preaching brethren and some private members, you would, in a most wise manner, throw more doubt into the minds than an open opponent could ever do. Your words possessed a hidden power, because they seemed involved in a profound mystery. Things that you could not solve in your own mind, you would throw out to others and pass on your way, not dreaming of the influence of the words or hints you had thrown out, all wrapped up in mystery. The seed you have so unwittingly sown has in some instances borne fruit immediately, but in some cases the seed has lain quite a length of time. Then the individual falls into some temptation, and the words you spoke had a hidden power and have sprung up and borne fruit. The mind has started upon a train of infidel thought from the words you unwisely uttered with an appearance of much wisdom, and none but God can then tear out the poisonous root. In this way has Satan used you to transmit his darts to others. Had he suggested these thoughts directly to the individual, he well knew they would find no lodgment in the mind. But let these hints come from a messenger, one in whom the person has confidence, and they have a powerful influence. We have recently been much burdened on Brother Hull's account. We about gave him up as lost. He has no help at home, and Satan has been determined to overthrow him. He needed all the strength and help from his brethren he could get.
but brethren Frisbee and Wagoner told some of their difficulties and perplexities to him. It seemed they had no particular object, only to talk out what was in their minds, unbelief and darkness. They passed on, but Brother Hull was just in that weak condition where the words of his brethren, whom he had confidence in, could take root and spring up and bear fruit. Some few difficult passages of Scripture were thrown into his mind. He came to meeting and honestly told his feelings. Unbelievers were present. One was a minister. He did not know it. He gravely told James and the brethren he could not preach, for he did not believe the Bible anymore. They thought him merely under the influence of temptation and tried to turn his mind, but it was of no avail. In this state, Brother Hall went some miles distant to discuss with a spiritualist. He came back charmed with the man, and as much fascinated as ever a bird was fascinated by a rattlesnake. He was a changed man. He looked so strange, talked so strange. He had got far ahead of us all, far beyond us, almost out of sight of us. We could not help him. Oh no.
The object of our meeting Wednesday night was to pray for Brother Hall, he being present. I had been very sick for above a week, threatened with fever, but I went to the meeting. In that meeting, I was taken off in vision and shown many things. And the case of Brother Hall was shown me that he had been mesmerized, charmed by a special agent of Satan. Already had Satan, I saw, claimed him as his prey. Already had evil angels telegraphed to Satan's agents upon earth that Brother Hall would soon leave the Seventh-day Adventists and join their ranks. And the spiritualist medium with whom he discussed must be all gentleness and charm him and fascinate him. He was almost continually in the company of this spiritualist medium, and Satan exulted at the conquest he had made. Then I saw how cruel, how dishonoring to God to have ministers or private members talk out or lisp their unbelief and infidel feelings to other minds, and by so doing, have Satan use them as agents to transmit his fiery darts through them to theirs. I saw that there was much of this done, and Satan exults that he works unperceived in this way. Much more I saw, which I cannot write, it would take so much time. I related the vision to Brother Hall. He remained unmoved. I wrote it next day and read it to him. He manifested some feeling while I was writing the testimony. All the females who had faith met to pray for Brother Hall. All worked with energy. The spiritualists flocked around him and wanted to visit and talk with him. We tried to prevent an interview, and did. Wednesday evening, I took George Amidon, Martha, and brother and sister Myron Cornell, and I read distinctly and emphatically the testimony the Lord had given me. He, Hull, there promised me he would try to arouse and make an effort again. He had so given up to the powers of darkness that there was no collision of spirits. He was at perfect rest and peace. After I read the vision, we told him he must go with us to Monterey. He promised to go, and I left him. Then Brother George and wife, Myron and wife, had a long and most powerful prayer meeting for him. He left that night for Monterey. He took the cars for Kalamazoo and then the stage for Allegan. Early the next morn, we started for Monterey. Sabbath morn, at family prayers, the Lord led me out to pray for Brother Hall. I felt that I had got hold of the arm of God, and I would not let go until the power of Satan was broken and his servant delivered. Prayer was heard, and Brother Hall was set free, and he labored with us through the conference at Monterey. We dare not leave him yet. He will stay with us until he is free and rooted and grounded in the truth.
I saw that when ministers talked unbelief and doubts, they attracted evil angels in crowds around them, while the angels of God stood back in sorrow. And everywhere these ministers go, they carry that darkness, until they, with fortitude, resist the devil, and he flees from them. Brother Frisbee says that he has been troubled with doubts and unbelief ever since he rode to Convis with you. You then talked to him your perplexities and difficulties and unbelief, and a train of thought was opened to his mind that he could not resist. He dwelt on a few difficult passages and has said he doubted the Bible. He communicated these to brethren Wagoner and Hall, and the fruit I have written to you. I was shown that in this very manner were doubts and difficulties thrown into Henry Nicholls' mind, which have destroyed his interest and faith in the visions and in us, and which have been strengthening with years until his case is nearly hopeless. Many others have had the seeds of unbelief planted in their hearts by your words clothed in mystery, which had a hidden power, and you passed on wholly ignorant of the effect of those words spoken. Brother Frisbee also said that when he brought forth evidences of the truthfulness of the visions, you would in answer tell of someone, an astrologer or soothsayer, who had foretold events which had been fulfilled in every particular. He said that his mind was thrown into a train of doubt which had proved a great hindrance to him. All this I learned after the vision had been given. Brother Hall has told me recently what the spiritualist medium told him, also a lady medium, that the spirits had informed them that Brother Hall would soon leave the Adventists and become a spiritualist, confirming what had been shown me in vision, as I have written you. I was shown the cruel work and influence of those who have sought to separate you from us. They must answer for the consequences. Your usefulness has been nearly destroyed for years. Your testimony has been tame, without edge or power. Your mind has been thrown into doubt, perplexity, and despair until the brain has been overtaxed and injured. Satan has wrought in every conceivable manner to get you down from the work of God and to drive you to unite with the rebel host to oppose those who are obeying the truth. He has worked through your own friends and relatives to accomplish this, and has partially succeeded. You might have been a pillar in this cause, a giant in the work, a skillful workman, rightfully dividing the word of truth, and could have swayed a powerful influence. But it has been otherwise. Satan has used rebellious ones to turn aside the purposes of God. Your strong attachment for your friends, Satan has taken advantage of to overthrow you. Your friends are beginning to see the work they have done and would repair the evil. They can repent, but never undo the evil that they have done. They have caused worse than a blank to be recorded in heaven against you. God has pitied you. He has witnessed your sufferings and is willing to make peace with you if you take hold of his strength. You have been torn, but God in mercy will bind you up, and you must rely upon him as a child and a parent. You must not dwell upon the dark side. You must forget everything that would bring gloom upon the mind. Keep your mind in peace, in rest. Cease studying and exercising the mind, and trust fully in God, who can and will help you if you trust in him. I saw that you were striving with all your might to remove wrongs and get to the light. God accepts your efforts and will let his Holy Spirit rest upon you. Satan, I saw, would roll a tide of unbelief and darkness upon you, but you must not dwell upon the darkness or talk upon it. You must press against it and talk faith. Encourage in yourself a hopeful state of mind. God's hand is reached down to bring you up. Don't let go of that arm, for it will prove your salvation. In much love. Dear Brother Uriah, we would like to have Harriet copy this and send it to Wacon.
The things in regard to Brother Poole need not be copied. Please send Brother John Andrews a copy of the whole when you learn where he is, and retain the original.